Boker Tov.
Shalom Lechem.
Very good.
Today we're moving on to lesson 6, but before we do that, I want to spend just a couple minutes back in lesson 4. In lesson 4, we covered two forms of the verb. The form that indicates completed action, and then a form that's used for narrative, continuing narrative action. So the next event in a narrative chain, in narrative. That's the one that begins with va. The forms for the completed action are given on page 46. I just want to quickly review those. So for the verb katal, which is killed, so we have katalti, I killed, so this is halfway down page 46. The forms of the verb, all the various forms of the verb, viewing the action as a completed action or a single event. So, katalti, I killed. Katalti. Katalta. Katalt. Those are both you killed, masculine and then feminine, both singular. Katal. Katal, he killed. Third, masculine, singular. Katala. Katala, she killed. Katalnu, Katalnu, we killed, Kataltem, and Katalten, that's second person plural, masculine and then feminine, you killed, and finally, Katalu, Katalu, they killed. So, all the various forms of the verb, viewing things as completed action, Katalti, Katalta, Katalt, Katal, Katala, Katalnu, Kataltem, Katalten, Katalu. And they're all formed by putting a suffix on the end of the verb. And the base form is given in third masculine singular, Katal. Okay? So that's one basic form of the verb viewing completed action. Then we also saw the forms of the verb that indicate ongoing narrative sequence. We had vayiktol, and we encountered that as we worked our way through the chapter. Now, the paradigm for all these is given, there's a reference grammar at the back of the book. Just direct your attention to that so you're aware of that. And that is on this verb, the form for the verb is given on page 354, or starting on page 354, where we have the paradigm, that is the whole layout for what's listed there as strong verbs, katal. And a strong verb, we've learned that verbs generally are based upon three letters, the three root letters of a verb, and you can have strong letters and weak letters, and a weak letter tends to disappear. A strong letter always stays as it is. So a strong verb is one that has three strong letters, and none of the letters disappear. So katal is a strong verb, and that's the paradigm for a strong verb. We're going to find that funny things happen if, for example, say the middle verb, the weak letters would include a hey, a vav, a yod, and a nun. Those tend to disappear, and that can confuse you. And this paradigm for the verb carries on for the next several pages, but that's its basic form there. And so the third column over at the top gives us what I just had covered. It does so in a slightly different order, katal, katala, katalta, katalt, and so on, and calls that perfective, /sc. Right, you see that? The slash S, the SC there means suffix conjugation, which just means that we form those verbs by putting a suffix on the end. Okay? So over the course of the next lessons, over the next number of months, hopefully I'll keep referring back to this reference grammar so you just become alert of what's in there and it becomes a convenient way of finding everything in very compact form, as it were. So, with that, now we can turn over to Lesson 6 on page 60, Lesson Sheish. and we learn about the forms of the verb for continuing action. So, section 6.1, we have three different forms of the verb, katal, vayiktol, and yiktol. So, katal, katal, vayiktol, vayiktol, and yiktol. So, the first one, katal, gives the forms which usually indicate completed, definite, or single action. So that's what we've just reviewed in lesson 4. Katal, that's the suffix conjugation, formed by putting suffixes on. The next one, vayiktol, gives forms which usually indicate the next step in the continuing narrative. So we also encountered those in lesson 4, 2 weeks ago. And that always begins with a vav and patach, and then usually a dagesh in the first letter of the verb, so vayiktol. And then the final form, yiktol, gives forms which usually indicate continuing, indefinite, or repeated action in past, present, or future time. And that's what we're going to learn in this lesson. So the key difference for these verbs, these three ways of what we say conjugating the verb, they have nothing to do with time, and that's difficult for us to get out of our mind in English because our system, our verb system is based on tense, which does have to do with time. In Hebrew, it's whether the action is viewed as completed, as complete or incomplete. If it's completed, then you would use katal, that form. If it's incomplete, you would use the form yiktol. And that's whether it's past, present, or future. And then you have to use context to determine what the time is. And then there's a special form of the verb vayiktol for if you're describing a sequence of events in narrative. And since a lot of the Hebrew Bible is narrative, we get a lot of those verbs. Okay, now we have three columns showing us the forms of the verb in these three forms for a dozen or so verbs. So reading across the page, katal, katal, vayiktol, vayiktol, and yiktol, yiktol. So those are the ones we just covered at the top of the page. He killed, the viewing the action as completed or definite. Vayiktol, and he killed, or then he killed. That's what you would get in a narrative sequence. And then yiktol, which could be he will kill, he kills, he was killing. The action viewed as incomplete, as ongoing, as indefinite, or habitual, repeated, or whatever. Next one, the verb shama. Shama, he heard. Vayishma, vayishma, and he heard. And then yishma. Yishma, he will hear, or he was hearing, or he hears. Now, what you'll notice so far is that the B column, the Beit, and the Gimel column are very similar, just with the exception of that va on the front, so that the continuing narrative form has similar form to the incomplete action, but just with va on the front with a dagesh in the yod, in the first letter of the verb, right? So it's yiktol and then vayiktol. Now, it's sort of accidental that it ends up being that way. The narrative form is not derived from the incomplete form. They just have ended up coming to be very similar. But it means that for most of them, if you just learn the perfect, this incomplete form and then put va on the front, you'll be right almost all the time. Okay, we'll see that there are a few exceptions as we go through. But. Okay, third one, shamar. Shamar, he kept, vayishmor. Vayishmor, and he kept, continuing narrative form, and then yishmor. Yishmor, he keeps the incomplete form. Zakar. Zakar, he remembered. Vayizkor. Vayizkor, and he remembered. And then Yizkor. Yizkor, he remembers. Zakar. Halak. Halak, he went. Vayelek. Vayelek, and he went. And there the accent, it's on the vaye, the ye. And then yelek. Yelek, he goes or he will go. And there's a very slight difference there in that the vowels are slightly different. In yelek, it's two long e's, two seres. In vayelek, it's a sere and a sagol. Ba, he came, vayavo, and he came, and then yavo, he will come. Now, ba, that only has two letters, and yet we said that most Hebrew words are based upon three letters, and in the middle there, between the bet and the aleph, in its full form, is a vav. That vav easily disappears. So in ba it's missing, in vayavo it's missing, and then in yavo it might be there or it might not be. So vav is one of these letters, a weak letter that easily disappears. Come, he rose, he got up, he set off. Fayakam, and he rose, and then yakum. He rises, the incomplete form. Now there too, there's a difference between vayakam and yakum. This too, kam, has only two letters. And there also, the missing letter is a vav between the kof and the mem. And that too easily disappears. And when we have a middle letter that is a vav, or a yod, we call that a hollow verb because that vav or yod easily disappears and leaves the verb hollow. It has no middle. So it's got the first letter and it's got the last letter, but it's missing the middle. So we call it hollow. And it's these verbs that are different. There's a difference between the column gimel, the imperfective form, and the continuing narrative form. And so we see that here. Vayakam for the continuing narrative and yakum for the incomplete form.
Did you say hollow verb?
Yeah, we call it a hollow verb. Hollow verb, where the middle letter is a vav or a yod. Next one, Natan. Natan, he gave, Vayitain, and he gave, and Yitain, he gives, he will give. Now, Natan, that has three letters, Nun, Tav, Nun, but Nun is also a weak letter, and it readily disappears, and that's what's happened in Yitain and Vayitain, and it's left a remnant of itself as the Dagesh in the Tav. Diber, he spoke, Vayudaber, and he spoke, and Yudaber, he will speak, or he speaks, Yudaber. And then finally, Haya, Vayehi, and he was, and then Yihye, he will be. Now, there too, that's a hollow verb, this time with a yod in the middle. And so it's the forms in bet and gimel columns are different, vayihi versus yihye. And because vayihi is very common in the Bible, this is what in the King James we translated, and it came about that, or and it happened that. So it occurs a lot in narrative. And so it's a frequent example of the difference between the imperfective, and the continuing narrative form. Yihyeh, 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 he will be. Which probably is the basis for the Lord's name. So Exodus 3:14, Moses asks for the Lord's name, and God says, Ehyeh, Asher Ehyeh. So Ehyeh, I will be, which is the first person singular form of this. And then he says, go and tell the Hebrews, Ehyeh has sent you, I am has sent you. And then he changes it so that it's in the third person, that Moses can refer to it then as Yahweh, which is certainly based upon this Yihyeh. So the Lord, he is. Okay. Note that in column 8, most of the forms, here we are at the top of page 61, most of the forms have a dot, a dagesh forte, that strong dagesh, which marks the letter after the va, that vav pata, as being strong. The last two are exceptions. Generally, so we had vayudaber and vayehi, and there's no dagesh in the yod. And generally that usually happens when the vowel under that first letter of the verb itself is a shwa. So vayudaber, it's yudaber is a shwa under the yod, and so we don't put a dagesh. It's normally we don't put a dagesh in that first syllable. So we have vayudaber, and he spoke without a dagesh, but then compare vatudaber, and she spoke, which does have a dagesh forte in the tav. So that's one exception to that. Some of the forms in column Gimel have a longer vowel than those in Beit. We saw that with vayelek versus vayelech. So yelek has two long e's. And we saw that with yakum versus vayakom. And in vayakom, that second T-shaped vowel is a short O instead of a long A. And you haven't yet really learned how to distinguish that. Eventually, when you get around to reading the actual Bible itself, the Masoretic scribes help you determine whether it's a long A or a short O. But we're not to that point yet. Now, all the forms in column Gimel may, according to the context, refer to past, present, or future. And as I said, this is confusing for us in English because we look at that and we tend to think, oh, well, it can't refer to past events. It's just got to be present or future. And conversely, the katal form, we want to think of that as being purely past, but you can have that referring to future events when they're viewed as definite and complete. And this, the prophets often do this. We'll use these to refer to the future. So we've got to get it out of our mind of thinking of these as a tense system and think of it as what we call an aspect system, which is you view action as complete or incomplete, whether it's past, present, or future. Okay, now we have a little reading exercise, and we see how the forms from the first two columns work, and we've seen this back in lesson 4 as well. So, Shema et Devar Eloheinu. Shema et Devar Eloheinu. So, he heard the word of our God. Shema, completed action. This starts off our little narrative chain. Vayishmor et Habarit. Vayishmor et Habarit. And he kept the covenant. So, Vayishmor, that's our continuing narrative form. Beginning with va, dagesh in the yod. So we launched our narrative with shama, and then we continued the narrative with vayishmor. And so in a standard Hebrew narrative, you'll find that the narrative just keeps on going with a whole string of these continuing narrative forms of the verb. And then we get our end of sentence marker, end of verse marker. Next one, Zakar et Habarit. Zakar et Habarit. He remembered the covenant. So now we've got a new sentence, a new sequence. So we begin with a perfective, the completed form of the verb. He remembered the covenant. Remembered, viewed as a completed action. Vayiten lahem et eretz Kanaan. Vayiten lahem et eretz Kanaan. Kanaan. And he gave them the land of Canaan. So Eretz Kanaan, the land of Canaan, and Lahem to them. So we started the narrative with Zakar, and then we continue it with Vayitain. End of verse marker. Then now we have another one. Shema et Divrei Hanavi. Shema et Divrei Hanavi. Vayakom Vayelek el Nineveh. Vayakom Vayelek el Nineveh. So he heard the words of the prophet, Divrei HaNavi. Shema begins our narrative sequence, perfective form of the verb. Vayakom, and he arose, or he got up, or he set off. Vayelech, and he went to Nineveh. So we start with Shema, then we continue with Vayakom, Vayelech. Okay. So that's how those forms of the verb in Aleph and Beit work. And this, especially we see there how those continuing narrative forms work. Now we get to see how the forms from column Gimel work. These viewing the action as incomplete. And we're going to take it here that the context for these is future time. So we have Yishma et Devarim. Yishma et Hadavarim. So, assuming this is future, we could translate that as he will hear the words. Now, if we hadn't been told that that was future and all we had was that, just that little phrase there, we could translate it as he hears the words, or he was hearing the words, or he was in the habit of hearing the words, he was accustomed to hearing the words, he was. Anything where this hearing is viewed as an ongoing activity without an end in sight. And you would have no indication within it as to what the time is. Next one. Yishmor et habarit. Yishmor et habarit. He will keep the covenant. So shamar is to guard or to keep. And it's a usual verb that's used with keeping, doing commandments. Here, doing the terms of the covenant. Yizkor et devar ha'av. Yizkor et devar ha'av. He will remember, Yizkor, the word of the Father. Word of the Father. Titain lo et hakesef. Titain lo et Hakesef, she will give him the silver. So tetain is from the verb natan. Here we have, on page 60, we had all third masculine singular forms beginning with yih. Here now we have a third feminine singular form beginning with t, so tetain. Lo tetain li et ha herev. Lo tetain li et Ha-herav. So now we have it negated. She will not give Li to me the sword. Herav. Herav is sword. Yavo min ha'aretz. Yavo min ha'aretz. He will come from the land. So min there being used to mean from. Hu yavo vehi telek. Hu yavo vehi telek. He will come, but she will go. And so two little clauses there, two little phrases. Each begins with a personal pronoun, who. So who is he? He will come, the, and then he is she, she will go. Now, you could have had that by just saying yavo, the telek, but the pronouns are added in for emphasis to make it clear, really make it emphatic, this difference between who and he, between he and she. John?
The two that are she will give and she will not give, why is there a dagesh in the
titane? Why is there a dagesh in the tav, in the first tav or the second tav?
In the first tav, but only in the first sentence, in the one following low.
Right. Okay, so that is, in the first sentence, that's a dagesh lene, a weak dagesh. Remember, there are six letters that can occur in. Remember that back from lesson two? So, six letters that take the weak dagesh. Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Kaf, Pe, and Tav. And the mnemonic that we use to remember this is Begad, Kafat. So we've got the six letters there, and we just add vowels in between them to give us that as a little mnemonic. And you put a dagesh in them, or you don't have a dagesh in if it's preceded by a vowel in the word, if the word before ends in a vowel, if you remember back to that. And that doesn't apply if it begins a new sentence or a new, or comes after a major break in the sentence or in the verse. That doesn't, the vowel doesn't carry over. And a couple of them get pronounced differently with or without the dagesh. So bait is one of them. Bait with the dagesh is pronounced as B. Without, it's pronounced as V. Pay with is pronounced as P. And without is pronounced as F. Now, you could argue that the kaf with and without is pronounced a little different. In actual practice, that's a little hard to distinguish pronunciation between them. Okay, so this is dagesh lene, a weak dagesh. Has no effect on the meaning of the word versus the strong dagesh. Does affect the meaning of the word. And it essentially, it serves to double the consonant. So it doubles it. So for example, here a bait with a strong dagesh would be, is a double B. So for Titain, she will give him the silver. The two tavs there have dageshes in. The first dagesh is a dagesh lene, a weak dagesh, because it's one of these begat kafat letters, and there's begins the word, there's no preceding vowel, there's nothing at all preceding it. And then the second one, that is a strong dagesh, and that is left over from the nun that disappeared. So the verb is natan, and nun is a weak vowel and a weak letter and readily disappears. And but usually when it disappears, often when a nun disappears, it usually leaves a remnant of itself as a dagesh. And then in lo tetain, the first tav does not have a dagesh because the preceding syllable ends in a vowel. Well, it sort of technically ends in an aleph, But Aleph is quiescent, we say. It doesn't actually have any phonetic value, really. It just closes off your mouth, or closes off the sound. So really, there's a holam coming before it. So, okay? So, and this is one of these things that it just sort of needs constant review, and eventually it's going to sink in. It's very confusing for us as, because our English letters don't behave this way. Yes, Karen?
The word will come in the mm-hmm. masculine. Mm-hmm. How come it's spelled differently from the second to the last sentence in the last day?
Oh, yavo versus yavo.
Is it the same word?
Yes, it's the same word. It's the same word. And you'll notice over on the previous page, 60, in column Gimel, where we had that, it's given both yavo and yavo. So, this would be just like spelling color with a U or without a U. Vav functions, remember, Vav is one of those three letters that began to function as a vowel. Yod, Vav, and He. And this was going on between the close of the Old Testament and the time of the New Testament. Sometimes you can then have alternate spellings with a vav put in or without a vav, and no difference in the meaning. And you can find it spelled this way, that difference in spelling, in adjacent verses in the Bible. And the scribes weren't concerned about that. Okay?
Really, in the last sentence of 61,
mm-hmm.
you will come, but you will go, the but is just added in there?
Yeah. So you just use that by context. So the there, it's a conjunction, and you then have to decide how are the two halves being joined together. Is it adversative or just linking? He will come and she will go, and that would be perfectly good translation. He will come and she will go, but particularly it's really drawing a contrast between what the two of them are doing. And so in English, we would that becomes clearer by using but. Okay, section 2 over the page, 62. And now, just like we did in lesson 4, now we're going to work through the various persons and learn the forms of the verb. So starting with third person, singular and plural, we have... column 1 will give us third masculine singular, column 2 third feminine singular, and column 3 third plural, which we call third common plural because it covers both masculine and feminine. So yiktol, he will kill, tiktol, she will kill, and yiktalu, they will kill. So notice that third masculine singular begins with yod, yiktol. Third masculine common also begins with yod, yiktol, and ends with u. And that's going to be true of all these forms of the verb for third plural. And then third feminine singular begins with t, with a tav, tiktol. Next one, Yishmor, he will keep. Tishmor, she will keep. And Yishmaru, they will keep. Yishmaru. Yizkor, Tizkor, Yizkaru. Yavo, Tavo, Yavo'u. Yakum, Takum, Yakumu. Okay, so you get the pattern. Yod, yif for third masculine singular, tif for third feminine singular, and yi ending in u for third plural. The forms in column 3 refer to men or to men and women. The feminine forms that refer only to women are like tishmorna. They will keep, they will protect, but they are very rare Most of them occur in the book of Ruth. It's rare that we find a group of women alone being the subject of verbs in the third person, but that's what they said. Note that the tav of Tiktol and of Tishmorna is a feminine marker. And in lesson 7, we'll see tav as a feminine marker on the end of nouns like Malkat, queen of. Queen itself is Malka ending in a he. And then when you say queen of something, or you change the he to a tav. But that, we'll learn about that in the next lesson. Okay, now we get these in use, section 3. And the first set of sentences are all going to be concerning mahar, tomorrow. So we'll translate these as future, and then there'll be a set of sentences referring to emesh, yesterday, which we'll translate as past. Okay, so time for you to do some reading, and we'll start with Karen. We'd like to read that first.
Yishmeru et.
Good. Yishmeru et habarit. Yishmeru et habarit. They will keep the covenant. So they will keep. What you want to notice there is you've got a yod on the front and u on the end. So that's third plural. Okay. Yeah, you have a question? Okay, you want to, well, should we work around the table? Okay. were you gonna read the next one as well?
No.
Let's work away. Joyce, I think, is going to skip another lesson or two. And then. That is Adonai, yes. So we tend to pronounce that as Adonai. If you try and read that out as it is written there, you would have Jehovah, which is why we have Jehovah. But the Jews would never say that. The Israelites would never say that.
That's the holy
word. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a bit of a mongrel word. It has the consonants of the Lord's name and the vowels of the word Adonai, Lord. And so the Jews, when they viewed the name of the Lord as so sacred, they wouldn't pronounce it instead his name. Instead, they would say Adonai, just meaning Lord. And so the scribes, when they added in the vowel points, added in the vowels for Adonai, so just to alert you to pronounce it as Adonai. Yes.
Isn't missing the first vowel in Adonai? Where's the first vowel?
The Shiva that's under the yod would be actually be a composite shiva under the aleph. So we actually have three vowels in there: shiva, a holom, and then a kametz, Adonai. Okay. So most probably the Lord's name is pronounced Yahweh, but they viewed that too sacred to pronounce. So good. So Yishma et Devar Adonai. He will hear the word of the Lord. Judy? Good. Tizkor et Divrei Hanavi. She will remember the words of the prophet. Well, okay, good. Yavo Liricho. Yavo Liricho. He will come to Jericho.
That's an L. How did they get J in translation?
The J comes from Yod. Okay. So if it's just on its own without the Lamed there is two, means two. On its own it would be Yericho. Yericho. Okay, Mary? Takum min hakisei. Takum min hakisei. She will get up from the throne. John? Good. Yizkeru et Adonai Elohehem. Yizkeru et Adonai Elohehem. Yizkeru, they will remember. So it begins with ye, ends with u, third plural. They will remember the Lord. And then Elohim is their God. So Elohim, and then the suffix hem is their, what we call it's a pronoun suffix referring to their. So the Elohim gets changed to Elohei when you say the God of. So it'd be the God of them. And we'll learn more about that in the next lesson, how a noun changes like that. Jim? Yakum v'halak. Yakum v'halak. He will get up and he will go. Sean? Okay. Yavohu l'yafo. Yavohu l'yafo. They will come to Yafo, to Joppa. So Joppa, even today in Israel, what we call Joppa is Yafo, immediately south of Tel Aviv. Karen? Yelek Mitzrayma. Yelek Mitzrayma. Now, and then at the bottom we have a note there, Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is Egypt. Ayim ending is a dual ending. So it refers to two of something. So it's curious why Mitzrayim would be in a dual form. Perhaps because there's Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt. If you know your ancient Egyptian history, this Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt. And at times the pharaohs ruled over a united kingdom. At times it was a conflict between Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt. So that's perhaps why it's a dual form. And then Mitzrayma, you add a on the end, Kametz Hay, to indicate direction. So Mitzrayma is to Egypt. Okay, so we see this again and again in Hebrew. You can add little prefixes and suffixes, and you end up with a word that might take five words in English to translate. Very compact. So there's lots of things then to try and be alert to and pay attention to. And this then is one of the keys really to reading Hebrew, is not so much concentrating on learning all the forms, but learning the bits and being able to recognize the bits. And so here Mitzrayma recognizing, oh yes, that's what we call a directional hay on the end of that. So no, yavo. So there's halak, to go. There are several words for going. Halak is just general going. And then there's yatsa, which is to go out. And yavo and vo is bo is to enter. Now, whether we would distinguish that between come out and go out, but that's really the same action. It just depends upon where the viewer is standing. So to come out means that you as the onlooker are standing outside. To go out means that you are standing inside. And Hebrew wouldn't distinguish those. For them, they would just say the action is going out, is moving from inside to outside. So they would use yatsa. And then bo is used for entering. And so then you've got to use your judgment as to whether you're going to translate it as coming or coming in or going in, depending upon where you view yourself as standing.
So in they will come to Japan, mm-hmm. You will go to Egypt, you have one that is la, the other one is ma.
Right, so they will come to Joppa using a lamed there as a prefix to indicate to. Going to Egypt, they're really synonymous that way. You could have probably le Mitzrayim. Okay, and finally, all right. Good. Tavo Hamalka. Tavo, she will come, and then the queen will come. Okay, those are all mahar, tomorrow. Now we move on and we have a set for emesh, yesterday, which will translate as past, even though the form of the verb is exactly the same. So, Marilyn? Yiktol et hamelech. Yiktol et hamelech. He was killing the king. Judy? Hu yishma et hadavarim. Hu yishma et hadavarim. He, and now here we're given a pronoun at the beginning, just for emphasis. Hu yishma. He was listening to the words. Yishma et hadavarim would have meant the same, just a little less emphatic. Yes, the dalet there is doubled. And that comes from the hadavarim. Ha, there on the front, is the article, the, and it's, the article is hey with patach and then a dagesh in the next letter. So that's why it's doubled. That's a dagesh forte, a strong dagesh going with the article ha. So you get the next, let's take the next two lines. Good. He tizkor et berit Eloheinu. He tizkor et berit Eloheinu. She was remembering the covenant of our God. So Eloheinu is again Elohim with that change to Elohe because it's has something else coming immediately after it, in this case a suffix enu meaning our. So Eloheinu, the God of us. She was remembering. He, that also has an emphatic pronoun at the beginning. Okay, Mary, you take the next two lines. Good. Ki tishma et devar hanavi. Ki tishma et devar hanavi. Ki is for or because. Tishma, she was listening to the word of the prophet. Devar hanavi. Okay, John, you get the next two lines. Good. Asher yudaber le Yisrael et divrei habarit. Asher yudaber le Yisrael et divrei habarit. Asher is the relative pronoun, so referring back to something before. So this case referring back to Navi, who used to speak. So yidaber, we're taking that as past action, but ongoing past action. He used to speak to Le Yisrael, to Israel. So the lamed prefix there meaning to. What did he speak? Et divrei habarit, the words of the covenant, so the terms of the covenant. Divrei there, it would be divarim, the plural of davar, words, but then this is words of, so divarim gets shortened to divrei. And we'll learn more about that in the next lesson. Okay, Jim, you get the next two lines. Vako yomar ba'erev. Vako yomar ba'erev. Uvaboker lemor. Uvaboker lemor. Ko is thus, thus, or in this way. Thus yomar, he used to say. Ba'erev, in the evening. So erev, evening. Uvaboker, and in the morning. Lemor. Lemor is saying or open quotation marks. Vaboker and vaerev, those both have the article with them. So ba erev, the comments underneath, the b indicates in, and then the comets is from the definite article. Vaboker, the patach under the bait is the article. Okay, so saying, and then Sean, you get to finish it off. Zot berit Adonai. Zot berit Adonai. So zot is difficult because that aleph is totally quiescent, so it has no pronunciation in and of itself. It's in terms of how you pronounce it, it's as if it wasn't there. So zot berit Adonai. This is the covenant of the Lord. Zot is a demonstrative pronoun, this, and it's feminine, the feminine demonstrative pronoun, feminine singular, because berit is feminine.
In the secular newspapers of today, when they encountered Yahweh, what would they say? Would they still say Adonai?
Adonai, or increasingly often they'd say Hashem, the name. The name. Shame is name, so Hashem, the name. That's actually probably now more common than Adonai. Yes.
Let's go back to Uvaboker.
Mm-hmm.
How do you break that down? What's the Uvaboker?
Uvaboker is, there are four things in there. There's a conjunction, U. There's a prefix, B, meaning in. There's the definite article, ha, which is indicated by the patah under the bait, the horizontal line under the bait, and then boker. So, and in the morning. So it takes four English words because there are four words jammed in there.
Mm-hmm.
Uvaboker. Uvaboker. Yeah.
U
is just it's a conjunction joining it to the previous. So you normally you just take it and. Sometimes you might translate it as but. But in this case, he used to say in the evening and in the morning.
So usually for and we'd say in the bob with the.
Right. So usually, and is vav with a shva, but occasionally it will be u. When it comes before, and this will often happen when it comes before a bait, a min, and a pay. And we call this, the way to remember this is Bumaf, those letters. So Bumaf is just a handy mnemonic device for what was covered there in the bottom of page 55. Okay, that was section one. That's the continuing form of the verb for third person. Section two. Now we'll move on, section four, to first person, singular and plural. First person singular has an aleph prefix, first person plural has a nun prefix. So we have, for the verb where shamar is the third masculine singular, he kept, then we have these continuing forms, yishmor, third masculine singular, that's what we saw in section two, and then eshmor, first singular, I will keep, or I keep, or I was keeping, and nishmor, we will keep. Nishmor. So then, next for the verb bara, we have third masculine singular, yivra, he will create, then evra, I will create, and nivra, we will create. For the verb berach, he blessed, we have yivarek, he will bless, avarek, I will bless, and nivarek, we will bless. For the verb natan, we have yitain, etain, and nitain. For the verb batach, we have yivtach, evtach, and nivtach. Okay, so you see how that first singular and first plural are working. First singular, you put on an aleph, and then first plural, you put on a nun prefix. Generally, the eh has a sagol under it, so a short e, and the nun has a hirik under it, a short I, eh and n. And then, for comparison, we then also, as a reminder, we have the pronouns, pronominal, what we call pronominal suffixes, first person singular bi, and me. So we're adding an I onto the end of the B, and banu in us. So anu gets added onto B, the in us. Iti with me. Et can be the direct object marker, but also means with. So adding I onto that, iti, and itanu with us. So anu is the suffix for first plural us. Okay, section 5. Now we see these in action. We're going to take these as being future. And in the interest of time, I'll read through these. You can read with me. So, column Aleph. Yivtach banu. He will trust in us. So yivtach, third singular, third masculine singular. And banu, b prefix plus anu, meaning us. Nivtach b'cha Adonai. Nivtach b'cha Adonai. Now nivtach, the ni prefix tells us it's first plural. We will trust b'cha in you, Lord. Evtach b'el Shaddai. Evtach El Shaddai. Evtach, so eh on the front, indicating first singular. I will trust in El Shaddai, meaning El Shaddai, meaning something like God Almighty. Yivra Eretz Chadasha. He will create Eretz Chadasha, a new earth. Eretz is feminine singular, so Chadasha, the adjective, has to be feminine singular. And that's the Kametz Hay ending. Nishmor et Divrei Habarit. Nishmor et Divrei Habarit. So Nishmor, nih prefix, first plural. We will keep the words of the covenant. Yitain lanu, he will give to us. So notice up at the top we had banu, in us. Here we have lanu, to us. So formed the same way, take the preposition lamed in this case, to, inseparable preposition, so it's joined to what comes with it. And we'd say anu is its object of the preposition, so to us. Barakah. V'anachnu, baracha, v'anachnu. So baracha, blessing, or a blessing. That's what he gives. Yitain lanu baracha. V'anachnu, and we. So anachnu is the full form of the pronoun, first plural, we. Nivarech Eloheinu. And we will bless Eloheinu, our God. Bara Elohim et ha'eretz. God created. Bara there viewed as a completed action. So it's created the earth. Vayivra Elohim et ha'adam. Vayivra Elohim et ha'adam. And God created mankind, or the man, ha'adam. So ha'adam can be the man, or viewed as a single single person, or the man viewed as a whole collective. So we take that as mankind. So that little sequence began bara, so completed action, viewed as complete, and then continues with vayivra, the continuing narrative form. So bara, he created the earth, and then he created mankind. And then it continues, vayivarek et ha'adam. Vayivarek et ha'adam. And he blessed mankind. Tizkor ha'isha. Tizkor ha'isha. The woman will remember. Okay, column bait. Ko amar Adonai. Ko amar Adonai. So, ko is thus. Thus says the Lord. So, amar viewed as a completed action. So, we could translate it as thus the Lord has said or says, but with that, his declaration viewed as a whole, even if we're translating here in the present. Thus says the Lord, and this is a frequent statement in the prophets, in exactly that form. Thus says the Lord. Evra Shemayim Chadashim. Evra Shemayim Chadashim. I will create new heavens. So Shemayim is plural, and so Chadashim, the adjective, has to be plural. Going with it. V'eretz Chadasha, v'eretz chadasha, and a new earth. Eretz is feminine singular, so chadasha has to be feminine singular. So that's from the end of Isaiah, and then reappears in Revelation. Va'ani evarech et Beit Yisrael. Va'ani evarech et Beit Yisrael, and I, so that ani there, the pronoun is emphatic. He doesn't have to use the pronoun, but its use there makes it, and I myself, so we could even translate, and I myself will bless the Beit Yisrael, the house of Israel, where there we can understand that house is referring to the whole, all the people of Israel. Ki etain lahem, ki etain lahem, for I will give them, so ki meaning for or because, giving us the reason, I will give to them, et eretz kana'an, et eretz kana'an, the land of Canaan. Uvi yivtahu, uvi yivtahu. And in me, they will trust. So, uvi, that little word is made up of three words, a conjunction u, the preposition b, and then the pronoun e, and in me. V'haya bayom hahu, v'haya bahom bayom hahu, V'haya, so haya, the verb it will be, or it is. So, and it will be bayom hahu, on that day. So bayom is made up of b, in. The article, that's the patah under the bait, the horizontal line. It's left over from the definite article, and then yom is day. So bayom is in the day, and then we're told something more about which particular day. It's hahu. So hu is a demonstrative pronoun, that. And because bayom has the article with it, hu has to have the article with it. So that's the ha on the front of hahu. So Bayom Hahu, on that day. And it will be on that day, and often for us in English nowadays, we wouldn't even translate the "and it will be." You know, on that day carries the idea quite enough. Nomar, nomar, we will say, Baruch Adonai Elohei Yisrael. Baruch Adonai Elohei Yisrael. Baruch is blessed. We will say, blessed is Yahweh, is the Lord, Elohei Yisrael, the God of Israel. So Elohei there, Elohim, is the full form, meaning God. Here it's God of, so it's shortened up to Elohei, going with the next word, Israel. Asher Hekim et Habarit Itanu. Asher Hekim et Habarit Itanu. Asher, relative pronoun, who, referring to Elohei Yisrael. Hekim, it's a form of the verb you haven't seen, and we won't meet for many weeks yet, so we're told that it means he has established. So the God of Israel, who has established et Habarit, the covenant, Itanu, Itanu, with us. So that's et, with, and then anu as a suffix, Itanu. Okay? So you see how that whole flow is working there.
He has established again.
Hekim? Hekim.
Hekim?
Hekim. Okay, section 6. Now we have second person forms of the verb. And there are four of these. Two for singular, that's masculine and feminine, and then two for plural, also masculine and feminine. So first column, tiktol. Tiktol, you will kill masculine singular, second masculine singular. Now, this poses a problem because we also had tiktol as third feminine singular, the top of page 62. So the same form can mean two different things. It can either mean she will kill or you will kill. But virtually always context is going to make it clear which it is. So tiktol, you will kill. Tiktali, tiktali, means, also means you will kill, but here you're addressing a single woman. Tiktalu, tiktalu, that's masculine plural, addressing or a group of all men or male and female together. And then tiktolna, tiktolna, tiktolna. And that too is confusing because that also is the same form as third feminine plural. And again, context will tell you, will help you decide which is which. And those feminine plural forms are rare. We don't get them very often in the Bible. So, next one, tokal. Tokal, you will eat, from akal. Tokli, tokli, toklu, toklu, and tokalna. Tokalna. Teda, teda, you will know, from yada. The verb is yada. The yod has disappeared. Tedi, tedi, sorry. And tedu, 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 tedana, tedana. Tevarek, tevarek, tevaraki, tevaraki, tevaraku, tevaraku, and tevarekna. Tivarekna. Tivke, you will weep. Tivke, verb is baka. Tivke. Tivki. Tivki. Tivku. Tivku. And tivkena. Tivkena. Okay, so you see how that paradigm is working for second person. The masculine singular has a t prefix. The feminine singular, well, all of them have a t prefix. The feminine singular has a e ending, hirak yod, suffix. The masculine plural has an u suffix. And feminine plural has a na suffix. So we have tokal okla. Tokal okla. You will eat food. Okla is food. Akal is to eat. That is an O, yeah. Okla. Mm-hmm. Tokal. Lo tokli. Lo tokli. You will not eat. That's tokli, feminine singular, the E ending. Tedu et Adonai. Tedu et Adonai. So tav prefix, u ending, tells us second masculine plural. You will know the Lord. Lo tedna oto. Lo tedana oto. Lo tedana, the tav prefix, na ending, could either be third feminine plural or second feminine plural. Here we're taking a second feminine plural. You will not know him. And then Dobson puts down here, note that this tav prefix, which indicates you, is the tav of ata, you and at, also you, the pronouns, feminine, masculine and feminine. And we've noted that tokal could mean a second masculine singular or a third feminine singular. Context will show you whether tokal means you will eat or she will eat. So context will tell you that. Okay. Section 7. Some reading to show these in action. Yitain lakha ha'ish. Yitain lakha ha'ish. Ha'ish, the man, will give lakha to you. Et ha'keseth velo tivke. Et ha'keseth velo tivke. He will give you the silver. Keseth, silver. Ha'keseth, the silver. And you will not cry, tivke, there being masculine singular. Yitain lach kesef. Yitain lach kesef. He will give you silver. Lach now, feminine singular. Lacha in the first line was masculine singular. Velo tivki. Velo tivki. And you will not cry. Tivki now, feminine singular, to go with the lach. Yitain lachem et eretz kana'an. Yitain lachem et eretz kana'an. He will give to you, lachem, masculine plural now, the land of Canaan. Va'atem Tavarachu Shmo. V'atem Tavarachu Shmo. And you, so we're given the pronoun first, Atem, which makes it emphatic, Tavarachu, so the U ending there is masculine plural, and you, masculine plural, will bless his name, Shmo, from shame. Name plus O suffix. So masculine plural because lachem in the first line to you is masculine plural. Kitov Adonai. Kitov Adonai. For the Lord is good. Tiktolna et ha'anashim. Tiktolna et ha'anashim. So tiktolna, feminine plural form. You will kill the anashim, the men. Asher Birushalayim. Asher Birushalayim. Asher, the relative pronoun, who, referring to the anashim, who are in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim. Tokli okla, tokli okla, you will eat food. Tokli there, feminine singular. Va'at tevarki et ha'ish. Va'at tevarki et ha'ish. And you, at, feminine singular, tevarki, so the e ending, also second feminine singular, you will bless the man. Asher Natan Lach. Asher Natan Lach. Who, so Asher, relative pronoun again, who has given Lach to you. So Natan there, completed form of the verb. Et ha okla. Et ha okla. The food. Yedu ki tov ani. Yedu ki tov ani. Yedu, u, so yod prefix, u suffix. So that indicates third plural. They will know that I am good. Ki there meaning that. So the content of what you know. Okay, I'm going to jump over the top of page 66 in the interest of time, and we'll just read through section 8, and that will be close to being it. Lame tivki. Lame tivki. Why are you crying, or why do you keep crying? Forms of Hebrew like yishmor. Yishmor, he keeps. He was keeping, and tivke, tivke, she will cry or was crying or cries, usually express an action or state that is in some way either continuing or indefinite. So it's not viewed as being complete. And this is true whether it's past, present, or future time. And we shall call such forms imperfective. Now, the exact terms he used to describe these, there's a lot of difference across among linguists as to just what terms to use. So here we're using imperfective. Often we'd use imperfect. But the problem with using imperfect is we tend to think of that as a tense. So imperfective is just something that has not been complete. So perfect, in our language, I mean, we think of it as meaning without error, without fault, without anything. But perfect really means, from a linguistic point of view, a grammatical point of view, means something that is complete. That is, and imperfect is something that is not complete. So imperfective, something that's viewed as not complete. And then forms like shamar, he kept, and bakta, bakta, she wept, we shall call perfective. And those are what we covered in lesson 4. So those are the terms we're using for these two main forms of the verb, imperfective and perfective. Perfective are formed by putting suffixes on, so it sometimes gets called the suffix conjugation. Imperfective have always have a prefix, and they may also have a suffix, so we tend to call those prefix conjugation. And then there's the third form, which is the continuing narrative form of the verb, which in most cases has the same form to an imperfective plus a va prefix. So far in this lesson, we've looked mainly at examples where imperfective forms refer to action in future time. So yishmor, we've translated as he will keep. And some where the imperfective referred to continued or habitual action in the past. So yishmor, he was keeping, that's the continued action in the past. He used to keep, that's the habitual action. Now we look at some examples where the reference of the imperfective forms is to present time, or where general statements refer to past, present, and future time. So in 1 Samuel 1:8, Elkanah asks Hannah, Elkanah is Hannah's husband, Lame tivki. Why are you crying, or why do you keep crying? The imperfective tivki refers to a present, continuing, or habitual action. Contrast this with if he had asked Lame vakit, why did you cry? In which case the vakit or the bakit there is perfective, viewed as a completed action. Psalm 23:1, we have Adonai ro'i lo echsar. Adonai ro'i lo echsar. The Lord is my shepherd. Ro'e is the word for shepherd, here with a e added on the end for my. Lo echsar, I shall not want. I do not lack anything. In this verse, the imperfective echsar, notice that eh prefix, refers to a continuing state, indicates I have not lacked, I do not lack, I do not expect to lack. There's no end in sight of this state of not lacking. In Proverbs 10:1, we get the imperfective yismach, and we've seen yismach before. Yismach is the word to rejoice. Ben hakam yismach av. Ben hakam yismach av. A wise son. Ben is son. Hakam is wise. A wise son. Yismach gladdens or rejoices, makes rejoicing his father. Av. Well, rejoices the father, makes joyful the father. So that's viewed as being a sort of ongoing action, whereas the perfective simach means he made joyful as a definite, completed action. In Proverbs 10:1, yisamach refers to something that happens as a general rule. Whenever a son is a wise person, his father is likely to be glad. And imperfective forms are often found in proverbial sayings, which express what is generally true at all times. So it's viewed as this ongoing state of affairs, and that's why you use an imperfective instead of a perfective. But sometimes we've already seen perfective forms used in proverbial sayings. For example, Proverbs 18:22, Matzah isha matzah tov. Matzah isha matzah tov. He who finds a wife finds happiness. Where there we could perhaps view that the finding of the wife is already complete, and therefore he has found happiness, and the finding of that is complete, and then he's now enjoying the ongoing benefits of that, perhaps. In Proverbs 31:11, we find a perfective batach. It trusts, balanced by an imperfective yechsar. Yechsar, he lacks. So batach ba lev ba ali ala v'shalal lo yechsar. Batach ba lev ba ala v'shalal lo yechsar. So the subject is lev ba'ala, the heart of her husband. Ba'al, we saw one or two lessons ago, can mean lord or husband. And it's ba'ala, the ah there on the ending makes it her. The heart of her husband, batach, trusts in her. V'shalal, shalal is one of the words for wealth. Lo yechsar, he does not lack. Echsar, the same verb that was used in Psalm 23:1. And then this word of caution. This parallel use of perfective and imperfective forms in a poetic passage shows us that we cannot insist that there's always a clear difference or emphasis between perfective and imperfective forms. We can only indicate that while both depend on context to define their time reference, perfective forms tend to make definite statements and imperfective to make statements that are less definite or more concerned with continuing action or state. And then both of these, we contrast with the verbs, the verb forms, the continuing narrative form with va, vayishmor, and he kept, vaeshmor, and I kept, which usually indicates action in past time. But it's action in past time that is where a story is being told, a narrative is being told. Then this happened, then this happened, then this happened, and so on. Okay, a couple of little notes there, halfway down page 68, as we wrap up here. A note there for Adonai, where we get the word Yahweh, Yod, the tetragrammaton, the Lord's name, Yod He Vav He. Until now, we have written it with three vowel signs, so Shavah, Holam, Kametz, as a reminder that the vowel points belong to Adonai. Now we shall use the commoner form, which just has two vowels, a Shavah and a Kametz. And that's how it's usually written in the Hebrew Bible, is with those two vowels. Okay, and then finally, section 10, top of page 69, and we'll close with this. Vayar Elohim et kol asher asa v'hine tov ma'od v'hi erev v'hi voker yom hashishi. So Genesis 1:31. Vayar Elohim, Vayar Elohim et kol asher asa, et kol asher asa v'hine tov ma'od v'hine Tov Ma'od. So Vayar Elohim, and God saw et kol asher asa, all that he had made, kol there meaning all, asher the relative pronoun, so kol asher, all which he had made, v'hine. Hine is behold, look, see. Tov Ma'od, very good. Tov, good. Ma'od, very. Vayhi erev, vayhi voker. Vayihi erev, vayihi voker. There was evening and there was morning. Yom hashishi. Yom hashishi. The sixth day. And there we'll end the lesson six.